How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help.
Since we're way late, we'll not take this as serious as I normally would. Sean, where were you when you found out that the Longhorn Network is a thing? Because I bring it up because it's the end of the Longhorn Network. They said goodbye over the weekend. I'm not sure what's going to happen to the people there. It's media. Jobs come and go, and I wish everyone good luck. But it was a network presented as for us, by us, the FUBU version of Texas sports.
It was Texas FUBU.
Yeah. And now, what was the best ever thing to happen to the Longhorn Network? Was there like a Texas Tech game where you guys won?
No, I mean the only football games that would be on there would be when they played.
Did they play Kansas on?
Yeah,
Longhorn Network?
It was always the worst non-conference home game and the worst conference home game.
Yeah,
those are the two games that they always got, and they would get like basketball and baseball stuff,
sure,
and all the other sports. The best probably would be during Christmas, where they would just show a live stream of Bevo. Just
like a Yule log?
Yeah, basically.
They treated Bevo like a Yule log?
Basically. They're just a live stream.
How come they don't do that? They should have done that more often.
They should have done that every time they weren't showing a live game.
Yeah. Better. I mean, I know they have their studio shows, but come on. Bevo's better.
Just see what he's up to.
Yeah. I mean, what's he up to? Is he contemplating his life if they're trying to murder Uga? What's he doing in there?
Yeah, so that I could just say a random.
Yeah, I mean,
2015 against Kansas, I guess, when they won like 50-3.
I guess to
cool.
The point they weren't putting their premier stuff there, so it didn't help the product at all.
No,
they put all the stuff that, hey, this isn't gonna get on ESPN or ESPN Plus or ESPNU, so we got a spot to watch Texas sports.
Yeah, it was basically like, I don't even know what you would call it. I don't want to call it a fraud. It was just a trick, perhaps, to just get ESPN to pay them like $50 million a year. That's all it did.
Well, not all it did. It didn't murder the Big 12.
Yeah.
But you don't care. Obviously, I'm just saying it helped. It wasn't the only thing that destroyed and helped bring on people leaving the Big 12. In different ways over that span of time, but it was part of the problem. I mean, Texas itself was part of the problem.
Get your money up.
This is the problem right there. That attitude specifically is why people were like, I'm out of here.
Make your own network. Why can't you do that, Kansas State? Make your own network.
Well, they probably would have felt the same type of thing that you guys did. Who the hell is looking for Kansas State volleyball in the middle of the afternoon or whatever the hell they play those games?
The difference is they can't trick ESPN to paying them $50 million a year to do that.
You got Wildcats in Manhattan, Kansas. Nah, you can't do that to us. Texas got us once. You're not going to get us again.
I mean, I think was Longhorn Network a thing before SEC Network? I think it was.
I think so.
I think it's
the reason the SEC Network came about, because they saw Texas fool everyone and go, hey,
what the hell
we can actually put on things people will like and people will watch.
I mean, okay. It's not that much better.
Well, I mean, they actually have competitive football games people care about on there.
Yeah, they can throw a South Carolina versus Ole Miss game.
I don't know if you've heard, Sean. It just means more. You're part of that now. Don't knock it. You're going to find your way.
I'm just saying, it's going to be no different.
Look, you're going to be on the game. SEC Network from time to time.
No.
Yes, you're going to have an out-of-conference game.
They do play Vandy.
Yeah,
so.
Or just an out-of-conference game.
Oh, is that how that works?
Yeah, they'll put out of conference SEC teams on games on there when you're when you're hosting, when you're part of the new, when you're part of that schedule where you play,
Tarleton State.
Yeah, when you play them the second to last game of the year, like all those SEC schools do when they're getting ready for their rivalry game.
Yeah, that's gonna be awesome.
You'll be on SEC Network.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't play Michigan every week and out of conference.
Stephen F. Austin, get ready.
Stephen F. Austin's like, don't insult us. Don't insult us.
They're FCS.
Yeah, but they're better than the schools that, that Alabama's playing. We're not Chattanooga. Stephen F. Austin's like, stop it. You won't even try Sam all right. Houston State,
all right.
though.
All right, then we'll go with McNeese State.
Yeah, that's what you should be going for. Those are the games that get on the penultimate, as they say, weekend. I can't wait for Texas to have A&M as their final game of the year. And then, who's coming to town? Tarleton State. Yeah. How many people are you going to get in the building on that day?
Probably not a lot. I can't imagine a lot. Yeah. I wouldn't go. Who they play? Oh, they have like a real schedule this year.
Yeah, it's actually pretty tough.
Yeah. It's
at least as far as
Kentucky.
Ah, come on. Kentucky's been a good program.
No, but
that's you guys. I thought that at one point you guys were interested in Mark Stoops.
Yeah, you're confusing us with someone else.
That's not recently.
That was a different school. No, there is a back to back where they go. They play Oklahoma and then Georgia. And so I was wondering if there's another back to back.
No, I know A&M was interested in Mark Stoops, and then everyone found out about, hey, that's beneath us. So they hired their Duke coach instead. But he's a former Ag. At least he coached there. So that made it more palatable. Hey, the guy who's winning in the SEC?
Nah. No thanks.
You know, the guy who's had a better program than us in the same conference? Nah, we don't want that. Let's hire the Duke head coach and see how it goes. Okay. Sure.
I mean, it's the same as when it happened. I don't think Mike Elko stinks. It's just the process was just so
ridiculous.
Terrible and embarrassing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I thought Mark Stoops might have, not this cycle, but I thought they might have been interested in Mark Stoops when they hired Sarkisian, but I don't see that story, so I was wrong. But A&M, too good for Mark Stoops, not too good for someone who won a couple games at Duke. And we'll see how they do this year. I can't explain the process.
Hey, he won with Riley Leonard, all right?
That is a feather in his cap. But Mark Stoops won with Lynn Bowden, who's a wide receiver playing quarterback after all their quarterbacks got hurt. He won like 10 games with that offense, running the Wildcat the entire game.
Yeah, but then he took one look at Connor Wagman. I was like, no, can't do it. Sorry.
You think he turned down the job? That would be a story.
I bet, according to his Twitter.
Well, that's what they all say.
That's
I'm very
the statement. He's committed to Wildcat Nation.
I'm very happy in Kentucky, despite all the reports, blah, blah, blah. I know.
Respect he never considered it.
Respect my decision. Yeah, I know. All the things that everyone says when they're lying to everyone. Sure. Understood, Mark Stoops.
Just like no one was interested in the Alabama job except for the guy who took it.
Yeah. We didn't offer it to anyone else. It was Kalen DeBoer or no one else. And anyone who was rumored and was turned down by Alabama was always happy at the school I'm at. No. It's the games we play.
Oregon Duck for life, Dan Lanning.
I want to play in the Big Ten is what he was telling everyone. I don't want to be in the SEC despite all my roots being there.
All of my – every single job I had before this being in the SEC.
But I'd rather be in the Big Ten. Okay. Sure.
Being on 9-hour flights.
I guess he doesn't want to recruit against Georgia. That's what the Alabama people will tell you. He didn't want to recruit against Georgia. He's not ready for the big time. We don't want that former Georgia Bulldog anyway, at least as an assistant in Georgia or at Georgia. We will do more than just slander A&M. I mean, it is fun, certainly for the guy.
Dan Lanning caught one, too. 0-3 against Washington.
Hey, yeah, why would Alabama want a guy who can't beat Washington? What's that about?
Just weird.
Can't even beat your biggest rival, and you want to hire him.
Although he did get Bo Nix drafted 12th overall.
See, these are things that balance other stuff out. You get Bo Nix, you make Bo Nix a top 15 pick. But you can't be Washington. It's a give and take. We'll talk more about college football. In fact, we would have talked plenty about college football on Friday because of a certain trailer. But you know, the weather happened. We will get into the Astros when we come back. They have a series against the Angels starting tonight. They've got a chance to continue what has been a hot run. And I will give praise to Dana Brown for a couple of things. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really. Okay.
Kind of like you are. We hope that's the case if you're watching on YouTube. You cannot call us, unfortunately. We're still working on the phones, and really it's not that much about us. It's just phones happen to be on a power grid that went down. Until that stuff gets fixed, we are not a place you can call into. Glad we don't have any giveaways right now. But we will be out, at least I will be out, along the rest of the lineup. We're going to be out at our annual, well, semi-occasional golf tournament. Now, there are no more available, there's no available room. So if you didn't sign up beforehand and you wanted to come out and play, that's unfortunate. But John, Lance, me, Gallant, and George, and the Killer Bees are going to be out at the occasional invitational. So it's a thing we do every year to raise money for charity. We appreciate everyone who signs up for it. So you're going to hear a lot of John talking about golf. If that isn't something you're used to, where have you been? But it'll be at a different level as he enjoys Highland Pines. It's weird that he talks about that place like that because he talks about it like you're – he goes – he compliments it by saying, it's like you're in Georgia. Do I want to be in Georgia? And it's like the forest in Georgia, I guess he's talking about.
Yeah, I was going to say, is he talking about Augusta?
No.
No, just it's like you're
I guess.
In
I don't
Georgia.
Know. I don't know what he's talking about, but he always uses Georgia as a way to describe
is
it.
Is it Athens?
Is it Atlanta? Do I get lemon lemon pepper wings at the course?
I don't think the golf clientele would be like, "Oh, you're telling me it's like Atlanta? Can't wait."
Yeah, I don't think you use that as a sell.
Wow.
Me and Lou Williams hanging out.
Wow. Will the Migos be there?
Seems unlikely, and we know Drake can't be there because he's banned from Atlanta. If you're listening to music right now, so
colonizer. Can I say that?
These are things I need answers to. I don't make the rules on that stuff. I probably Kendrick would have to. Would have to let you know, but
I don't like my chances.
No, you should probably stay out of it. You and DJ Vlad just stay out of it, apparently.
And Chet Hanks.
Oh, that came up because Sean brought up during a break that Tom Hanks, the son of one Chet and Colin Hanks, he asked his son Chet to explain the Kendrick Drake beef to him, and of course, that's all that is a dad asking his son to call him. Hey, son, I haven't heard from you for a while. I'm going to give you this topic of conversation that you're interested in, so you'll call me. And Chet apparently just texted him. He's like saying, just call me, buddy. That's all I'm looking for. My mom does that all the time. She brings up things, asking me to call. Sometimes I do. A lot of times I text because who wants to be on the phone with anyone, really? So Chet Hanks had to explain to his dad about the Kendrick Lamar and Drake beef. And really the only explanation is, Drake got cooked. You don't need a lot to say.
At one point, Tom Hanks texted Chet, "Holy cow, these are fighting words. People are taking sides. Who's winning?"
It's a dad just being interested in what his son is interested in because he just wants to talk to him. He just wanted to hear from his boy. Chet's doing whatever the hell he's doing out there. What could Chet be busy with that he can't talk to Tom Hanks? There's nothing.
The most surprising part about that is that Chet Hanks texted him at like 8:30 in the morning.
You think he'd be asleep? Or maybe he's coming in from the night. I don't know.
Oh yeah, that is.
You never know.
I would have thought it was, you know, don't expect a text from Chet around noon. I guess at the earliest.
Chet, just call your dad. He just wants to hear from you. That's all. Let him know you're okay. You're hanging out. I mean, you're spending his money, so. He probably just wants to know how you're doing. Meanwhile, Colin just hanging out, being in movies, TV shows. Tom ain't got to check up on Colin Hanks.
No, he knows what's up.
Yeah. he should have sent the text to Colin just for a joke and see him explain the Kendrick Lamar Drake beef.
I was about to ask the same thing.
Yeah. In fact, no, the whole group chat is people asking Chet about it. Mom, dad, the other brother. Chet Hanks. He was a thing like 8 years ago. Now he's just hanging out answering texts from his dad. I didn't want to get to this before we went to break. If we're going to blame Dana Brown for his back of the baseball card stuff, which feels like just an organizational thing since multiple guys are saying it, the signing of Josh Hader, which we expect to turn around. Hader's been much better recently. You got to give him credit for digging out Taylor Scott. What was Taylor Scott before? He was a guy who pitched, and I don't know, I think he pitched on opening day. I don't know how many people knew who he was until then. You know, Astros nerd certainly did, but he's been a guy in ERA under 2. He has been their best pitcher, at least in my eyes, as far as the bullpen is concerned. And sometimes you have to unearth guys who are going to plug up holes that you have created, because if you've let guys go, or like a Kendall Graveman gets hurt, and you respond certainly by getting Josh Hader, but there are a lot of innings from that bullpen that are eaten up by capable major leaguers that the Astros didn't fill. They're depending on guys like Seth Martinez, who has been better than I think a lot of people thought he would be, and Taylor Scott, certainly much better than we thought when you're talking about a minor league contract that was signed. And of course, the other one, which is a guy we all know and some people have decided was not going to be a good baseball player, is Jake Meyers. They said Jake Meyers was going to be their center fielder, and he has been really good this year. An OPS over 900, batting average over 300, 5 home runs. So if we're looking for positives beyond Ronel Blanco, I always say Blanco's Blanco, Ronel Blanco, and obviously Kyle Tucker, who leads the major leagues in home runs, I think you line up Meyers and Taylor Scott, right? If you talk about Jeremy Pena. And I think these positive stories will continue because the Astros are playing much better, and you hope Yordan gets going. And we know Altuve is always going to be solid. He's a guy no one ever talks about anymore just because of what he is and what we expect of him, and he always comes through. Unless he's running the bases, then it's a different conversation. But the Taylor Scott, Jake Meyers of the world. Now, obviously, Joey Loperfido, when he's not striking out, he's been good. You'd like for him to make contact more, but at least when he does, he has lived up to some of the hype that was around him when he was in the minor leagues. Now, the question will be for him and others, where will the at-bats come from, or where will they go if the guy you paid a lot of money to and is one of the failures, and not for Dana Brown, but for the Bagwell, I won't even call it an era, maybe more error, but I wouldn't call it an era. It happened. It was like 2 months of Jeff Bagwell and Jim Crane making decisions baseball-wise by themselves for the most part. I guess Reggie Jackson and maybe Craig Biggio were there too. We're finding out. Where does Jose Abreu fit in? If you missed it, the expectation is, at least by some, that he will be back with the Major League Club by maybe Friday he'll be back. Does he immediately get at-bats? This becomes a thing where Jim Crane's saying, I'm not going to lose $19 million a year on this guy. He is going to get at-bats because I'm not just going to pay him to watch him sit. And that might be a problem if he continues to be as poor as he has been, that they're going to give him at-bats because the money's there. That's a guy where we invested a lot of money in, and he's got to play. He doesn't have to play, though. You survived without him. Keep him in Florida. Is there any reason that you can think of, Sean, why he should be back? Beyond they're paying him a lot of money.
Jeff Bagwell being like, my boy has to play. It says
Daddy
right here,
ball?
It says right here, every kid has to play on this team. No, I really do think that part of it is the fact that the Astros are winning now, and they view it as, well, now it's not as dire of a situation, so let's throw him back in the lineup and see what happens. I really think that's what it's not. Oh my God, the season's a disaster. Now it's like, okay, back on track.
No,
now let's try to do it.
But the season was a disaster when he was playing. Why would you take the season off its tracks to play him again? Just say, hey, the season's back on course. Not that it all fell on him, but let's not play a bad player once we're good again. We don't. If you stink and you want to tank, you play him. Like, if they hadn't turned around and they won a top five pick, I think the Major League Baseball has a lottery now.
I learned that, too, when the Astros are bad.
But if you want to do that to increase your chances of having a really high pick, play them. Treat yourselves like you're the Toronto Raptors of this year. But you're better than that.
Yeah, well, the Raptors ended up not getting a pick anyway. So
Yeah, they screwed that up, yeah.
But I think that part of it is just, hey, we got to get our money's worth out of this guy. That is the real answer. Is we're not going to cut him. We're not going to pay him all of his money today.
Allegedly, they tried to DFA him, and he said, "Nah, I want to stick around." That's because the fact that he got sent to the Complex League, people are speculating that he would have been cut, DFA'd, and.
But he was like, "No, let me.
I want to make it up to the team." This. Yeah, he decided he didn't want to go, and now he's back. So if you just look, if we're going by what you said. And they wanted him gone. They were willing to DFA him, which I'm not sure I believe, considering now they want to play him again. It wasn't just, hey, Jose Abreu, we want to get rid of him, but he doesn't want to, so we'll just send him down there and we'll forget about him. They're bringing him back, so it makes you think they didn't want to DFA him. The option was, we're not going to send you down and put you in a minor league jersey and have you figured out. We're going to keep you away from prying eyes, send you down there and see what you can fix. With the hope that he would fix it and come back. So the DFA stuff feels like nonsense to me at this point. But you can keep him in Florida. No one's missing him. I'm sure it's a great time down there. No pressure. Your day's done at, like 2? You can hang out. I don't know if he golfs, but whatever he wants to do, he can do.
I don't think Astros Twitter would take it well if there's a picture of him and Jeff Bagwell at like 3:30 in the afternoon golfing in Florida. I don't think people would take that well.
You think they're going to take it well if he's striking out in the middle of the third inning?
No, they wouldn't like that.
They would take it
either.
Better if he was down there, hanging out with Jeff.
I guess. Maybe call him up to either Sugar Land or Corpus to get him, you know, sell some tickets.
I knew. Sell some.
I knew. You know, get. Pack the house.
You know, the minor league clubs love when the major leaguers, hey, Yordan's going to be here. They put that in their promos. They're not putting the Jose Abreu is going to be here in the promo.
Hey, it's the only time you can see a former MVP, other than when Altuve gets hurt. It's the only time you can see a former MVP in Sugar Land.
They've seen Justin Verlander pitch down there. You think Jose Abreu is going to be a draw? Cut it out.
Maybe Corpus. Maybe they're a little more desperate.
To be fair to the Skeeters, Space Cowboys, disrespectful on my part, to the Space Cowboys, when the Astros go down there, who plays well? Verlander didn't pitch well, or Keeney didn't pitch well. They're in for a terrible night when one of the Astros goes down there, at least a pitch. Yordan's been okay down there. I gotta see you stink. Yeah. I don't want to see you be bad.
Hey, I went to one of the games where Yordan was there.
Yeah,
guess what?
So did I.
I was pretty close to him. I could see him.
I was down there. I was down. I think I was there for a Singleton game too.
Whoa!
He hit a home run.
Whoa! Okay, stop bragging.
I know. What a look at me. Hey, you know where I was? I was there when Singleton hit a home run against some team from, I don't know, Albuquerque, whoever the hell they play.
It just feel like they always play Albuquerque.
Yeah, <It's> just, like a 9-game stand against Albuquerque.
And every time someone is hitting well, you go, well. Half their home runs have happened in Albuquerque, which apparently has a crazy high elevation.
Isn't that what we heard about Lo Perfido?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's hit a lot of home runs, but half of them are in high altitude. And what does that really mean? Blah, blah, blah. So on and so forth. Well, it means at least when he makes contact, he can hit on the major league level. Just would like a little more of it. But he's been good. And really the Jose Abreu thing is about who it affects. Less so about like Astro fans and how upset they are. But who on this roster is affected directly by giving at bats to a guy who's been bad? And you've been just fine without him. In fact, you've been better than just fine. You've been really good as a baseball team without him. But you know what?
You've saved your season
without
him.
You've created a thing where the season is now interesting as opposed to us counting down until OTAs and training camp for the Texans. Now we're actually interested in what you guys have to do or have going on. You've got good stories. And then you bring back the cooler. Hopefully not. It'd be great. It'd be great if you turned it around. I'm just not sure why we have to, you know, wait to see if it happens when you're not struggling right now. You don't need his batting lineup. You've been just fine. But, hey, maybe Friday Jose Abreu is back with the big club. And the Astros can answer questions about why that is when it happens. We got a couple more segments to go here on the show. We'll continue to talk about the Astros, but also some news about college football that doesn't spell greatness for the ACC. In fact, it might be the end of the ACC at some point. We'll get to that in a little bit, too. We'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
On our last show on Thursday, we weren't here on Friday because of weather-related issues affecting the station. Sean and I were discussing, really in the last segment, how we were going to plan our summers because there was a college football game that's going to come out. And we're thinking, you know what? That's that July 16th week. Not a lot going on. The All-Star game is going on. Do we really want to be around for that? So we were having an open conversation about our vacation time. And apparently, Sean, if Josh Pate is to be believed, we're going to have to do some conference realignment again in our dynasties. We might want to get that out of the way early because according to him, the ACC isn't long for this world. Look, Josh Pate, if you don't know, is a college football podcaster. He does a show for YouTube. He works for CBS Sports. That's kind of the big brand that that's kind of like, how do I put this? He has a podcast with his name on it, but if we just go by who he works for, CBS is that company, and he's affiliated with them and their recruiting arm and their college football arm as far as 24/7 Sports. But he comes on the John Lance Show, at least he did last year, weekly to discuss the ins and outs of college football from NIL to games to, well, conference realignment. And if he is to be believed, the ACC is just about dead. Here were his comments last week about the ACC and its future.
The ACC is cooked. It just feels cooked. It feels like the stove's on. It feels like everything's in the pan, and you just got to slide it in at this point. And it's not a good feeling for those of us who really just wish we could leave well enough alone. There's a really good Tracy Lawrence song, When Daddy Was a Strong Man. Never got released on the radio, but that's one of the lines in there. I wish change would just leave well enough alone. Great song, by the way. If you're a country music fan, When Daddy Was a Strong Man. You know what? If you're just a fan of music in general, it's a really good one. So no one wants to be there. They had their spring meetings down at Amelia Island. I've never gone to it. In fact, I don't think I've been to any of the spring meetings because I'm always doing other stuff that time of year, but the ACC had their spring meetings down there, and I thought good friend of the program, Ross Dellinger over at Yahoo Sports, put it very well. If you've not paid attention to this stuff at all, and you think to yourself, I don't really care, just tell me when they kick the ball off, I respect you. And I think this paragraph right here sums it up better than reading copious amounts of articles ever could. Listen to this. You don't even have to know anything about the situation to know this situation right here is not going to work. Quote, this is Ross Dellinger describing the ACC. Two of its most unruly children, FSU and Clemson, are causing disruption as they work to leave the family behind. A half dozen of their siblings wish they had the resources and wherewithal to join them. And then another group, clinging to their morals and missions, are content, nestled quietly in their beds, avoiding trouble at all costs, an angry fist raised towards their misbehaving brethren. That essentially is the future of the conference. Oh, just missed.
Just missed. He tried to shoot a paper basketball and missed. I am generally not a traditionalist. I'm like, hey, it's new. Who cares? Let's see if it works. I realize college football is the one place where I would appreciate if they stopped screwing with my favorite sport. Things have changed to a point where sometimes there's nothing to fight. And the ACC is next in line. And it's funny because the ACC is a conference that's gone through realignment before. It's not like they're very traditional at this point. You've got all those Big East schools who were once competing against each other now in the ACC, from Virginia Tech to Boston College to Pittsburgh and Miami and others. That was, and Syracuse, that was a conference, or at least it is a conference that has been filled with members from another conference. And now that conference is probably in the next year or two no more, at least in the way we look at it right now. He mentioned Florida State and Clemson, both involved with lawsuits. Some of the schools he mentioned or did not mention that were won out. North Carolina, who we think of as an ACC school, has thoughts about getting out. Miami as well. So I'm with Josh. Not that the ACC is in great condition, because they are far behind the Big Ten and the SEC as far as money being brought in, revenue. But can you stop screwing with my sport? We've already got SMU and Stanford and Cal in the conference. And what a move for those schools. We're going to throw away everything we know about you three so you can join the ACC to survive. You're not even going to take a real share because you want to survive. And Clemson and Florida State are like, nah, we appreciate the efforts, but forget about it. In a year and a half, you're going to be looking for a new place to play, or you're going to be in a conference that doesn't resemble what you thought you were going to be in. So we are probably looking at a Big Two, and the SEC quietly would say, Big Two, just Big Me. It's just me. But it will be the Big Ten in the SEC, and the Big 12 would be, hey, guys, we're still here, as a clear third in the pecking order, and then the ACC will probably be eaten up by the other three. And if the teams who won out have their way, they're not joining the Big 12. They're going to either join the SEC or the Big Ten, and at some point, we're not even going to have real conferences anymore. I don't know what they'll be called, but let's see. Sometimes change is quick. Sometimes change is slow. What are we looking at, Sean? 5 years from not even conferences anymore, I think the SEC would love to maintain some ability to just call themselves the SEC because the brand is so strong. But what are we, 5 years away from just a league?
I would put it at like 5 to 10.
Yeah. Well, we're just talking.
Just to get all the ducks in a row.
Yeah, well, we're talking about scheduling will be determined by certainly region, but we're not even talking about conferences anymore. And to be honest, if we're going to do it, just let the non-football sports be their conferences again. And let football be whatever it wants to be.
That always is the thing when people or when schools move for like basketball only or football only. Or you never really see that as all, because that's all this is. It's just football.
It's football driven, all of it.
And so when people bring up like, well, why does Arizona's women's volleyball team have to go to play UCF on a Tuesday night? It's like, that's a good point. They shouldn't.
Yeah,
like,
no point.
There's no point in that. There's no value is being added by, or no one views any value add. It doesn't come into the calculations.
Oh, you mean
of
the,
making these moves like what SMU's softball team?
The Arizona
adds to
women.
The
Arizona women don't feel like it's enriching to go to play UCF on a Thursday in Orlando. You don't
no.
think they feel that's very enriching?
No, Arizona State water polo isn't thrilled about going and playing in Morgantown, West Virginia.
Well, to be fair to them, who's thrilled about going to Morgantown no matter what you're doing?
Yeah, or Manhattan, Kansas.
Yes, one and the same, honestly.
I don't know why these have to be all-in moves with all these schools. Like,
As much as we take our shot to Notre Dame for how they've operated.
Yeah, they can just be football.
Just be what Notre Dame is, football only, as far as their conference affiliations. Notre Dame is fine putting their non-football sports in the ACC. I mean, even that particular institution is doing something where they're sending teams from Indiana down to whether it be Tallahassee or Miami to play a game. But still, at least it isn't Cal doing it. So
in the same conference.
Where everyone has to do it. So Cal did it out of desperation. Notre Dame did it out of, hey, we want to be independent, but we still need a conference for our other school, or at least our other sports. We are happy with the ACC deal, but no one else is. The ACC just about done, and we'll see how it shakes out. The SEC and the Big Ten will pick over the remains and take who they want, and then I don't know what their other schools will do. Maybe they'll become like – the Big East is now. All basketball. Maybe. And then the other schools will find homes in different conferences because the ACC as a football conference doesn't seem very viable going forward.
Yeah, it seems like the big split will come when the NCAA either goes away or when the Supreme Court's like, actually, you have to pay these people as salaried employees or private contractors or whatever. Like, the school directly pays the athletes instead of this NIL charade where you're just asking your fans to pay the athletes for you.
Sure.
That's probably going to be where you can create a conference where it's like all the teams that are ready to put on their big boy pants and pay these football players.
We'll put you in a league
that will be
by yourself.
Yes. And that's how you answer the, what happens to, or why is a school like Florida State or Miami, even though they're not like as, you know, football crazy powerhouse as a school.
Yeah.
Why are they in such a tough position, but a team like Northwestern is just safe,
yeah,
as safe as you can be. And that's where that part I feel like will get sorted out with the, okay, Northwestern, do you really want to play in the big leagues of having to pay guys to compete against Ohio State every year?
Northwestern is going to spend this season playing on their on-campus facility that's not a stadium because they're building a new one in on the skeleton of the old one. So they're going to play like 5 or 6 home games where they practice.
Yeah.
Now it's a nice football only facility, but it's where they practice. And I guess they'll put up temporary stands and they'll play some of their bigger games in different locations. So Northwestern with all the money in the world, very secure in the Big Ten. You know what? Yeah, we're going to spend a year playing on campus, which is cool,
but it's home crowds.
Yeah. Well, we're going to play where we practice because you know what? We're Northwestern. Big deal.
Yeah, Vandy's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not as crazy. They can still at least play in their stadium, but their stadium's been like heavily reconstructed the last year or so.
Yeah, I don't know who you guys root for out there, but just think of it this way. If you rooted for it's like I said, no, you're going to build temporary stands to get some people in to watch and I guess set it up so TV can actually broadcast the games. But Northwestern can walk from their classes practically right onto the field to play if they wanted to, because that's where the games will be. Because, you know, their football stadium is going under a rebuild, partly because of all that Big Ten money they got now. Northwestern is very serious, more than you think about football. They're putting a lot of money into the program because of their affiliation with the Big Ten. But for a year, they're going to be playing in a place that Texas high school teams would scoff at. It's nice, but it ain't big, which is... I'm just going to dance around that joke. We will come back. We got one more segment here on the show before we wrap it up. And Gallant and George, follow us. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Final segment here, be a quick one. Sean's experiencing something that Mike Malone experienced yesterday. You're in a spot where you don't really want to answer questions, and you've got noise in the other room, but you can hear it. If you missed it yesterday, Mike Malone after the game, he is the head coach for the Denver Nuggets. They lose. They blew a 20-point lead to the Wolves in Game 7. And where they do their after-game pressers, the adjoining wall is the visitors' locker room. So I don't know if you'll be able to pick it up, but while he's answering questions, the Wolves are celebrating the comeback win. So a reporter asks a relatively innocuous questions. Pretty simple, you know, not really trying to stir things up, I think. But Michael Malone wasn't having it, and this is what it sounds like.
Well, how hard is it just to absorb a loss like this after going ahead by 20?
Next question, man. The season's over. That's what's hard. Being up 20. The season's over. You don't understand that. The season's over. It's hard. Stupid ass questions.
Now, he's upset. You know, it's tough. Game 7. You thought you're going to win that game. You're up 3-2 in the series. You get your ass kicked in Minnesota in Game 6. You think you're going to come home and win. You're up by 20.
Yeah.
Understood.
Biggest blown lead in Game 7 history.
Yes. I mean, the halftime lead is already a record. And then you blow a 20-point lead as to just add to the misery. But was it a stupid-ass question? I don't think so. I mean, it's maybe there is going to come an obvious answer after the question. Maybe that's the deal. But I think you're right. The context, he's here and listen to Nikhil Alexander Walker, JD McDaniels, Rudy Gobert, Cat. They're all celebrating in there. I'm sure someone is saying F the Nuggets, whatever, however you celebrate after you win. And then he's got to answer questions when all he wants to do is crawl into a hole.
Who do you think upsets him? Which voice do you think upsets him the most that he can hear celebrating?
Monty Morris, former Nugget Monty Morris.
There's a lot of good options. There's Monte Morris. There's Rudy Gobert.
I don't think anyone wants to hear Rudy Gobert celebrate at their expense.
You're
dancing on his grave.
Carl Towns.
Because you listen to Michael Malone and how he talks. I gotta imagine in secret when he's talking to his team, he has said some slightly disrespectful things about some of the Wolves. And then when they beat him, he's gotta be like, what the f is going on? There's no way that team should have beat us, particularly when they went up 3-2.
Season's over, man.
Yeah. Stupid-ass questions.
I thought it was a fine question.
It was fine. He was just agitated, and rightfully so. The Nuggets will probably be fine. Michael Porter and the way he played, rough for him. People are already talking about, hey, they need to trade him for picks and lesser salary. Michael Porter's had a rough year considering what his brothers have, not necessarily put him through, but what his brothers have been involved in. So I'll shoot him some bail. But the Nuggets go down. Michael Malone not thrilled. It happens. It's hard to defend your title. We're going to have a different champion for the 6th straight year. Parity is here, which means you never know. You make a big trade in the offseason, Rockets could be a contender very, very quickly. Just ask the Wolves and the Thunder. We are done for the day. Gallant and George are up next, followed by the Killer Bees. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.